everybody. What a pleasant thing to have quiet. Okay, anyway, so our call today is a call I'd done, you know, a number of years back out of a couple of articles that Todd Falcone wrote. And some of you know Todd Falcone. You've probably seen on Network Marketing Times. He does a lot of trainings there. He also has been the author of numerous articles about prospecting and things like that. And I just thought prospecting would be a great thing to talk about today because we all need to get back on track with our prospecting. I know Lydia and I are making great efforts to just get out there and just share with the world again. And it's kind of fun with the new rules and everything. I mean, there's a lot of enjoyment that we don't get into all the, you know, legislating about, you know, different disease conditions and all that stuff. It's a new world, and I'm telling you, I'm enjoying it. It's a lot simpler and a lot easier. And I hope you all find the same thing. Some of you feel frustrated by the constraints, but I'm telling you, when you get out there and start using them, you're going to enjoy it. It's a wonderful, wonderful freedom to have that we don't have to worry about so many issues and so many items, and we don't have to worry about being doctors. I mean, all that stuff falls by the wayside, and we just talk wellness. It's all about wellness.
Is there any news on the serum?
Oh, I got somebody on the line.
Is there any serum coming in yet?
Serum is already in, but I don't know how you're on this line. You're on your moderator's line.
Oh, I didn't.
That's okay. You're on the moderator's line. All right. Anyway, serum is already in.
Oh.
Okay, I need you to *6 so that you don't keep... Okay? All right, so back to Todd Falcone. So anyway, so Todd wrote a couple articles about naturals prospecting with relaxed intensity, and a lot of this had to do with some of the training I did this weekend in Iowa, so I really enjoyed the information. I thought you guys would enjoy it too. So I want to go over that because it really is about what's holding us back in prospecting. You know, a lot of people say, I just can't seem to sponsor anyone anymore, or I just can't seem to sign somebody up, I can't get them to be convicted, and, you know. And I know that this goes through a lot of your minds. I know that every prospect, everyone who gets involved in networking has problems from time to time with just getting closing, getting people to buy the products, and we feel frustrated, and we get wrought up in ourselves. And the reality of it is that's where all the problem is, too. The main cause of you hearing yourself saying this and convincing yourself that you can't sponsor people or you can't sign people up, the main reason is it comes from your own mind. It's what's going on in your own head. It's how you're programming yourself or how you've been programmed and what you're saying to yourself, the thoughts going through your head and listening to those little voices convincing you that you can't do it. So let's look at, as Todd puts it, he says, you know, go back to prospecting as something that truly comes just naturally, and it should come just naturally. If you feel that you're out there and you're pushing yourself, you know, I want you to push yourself on breaking the ice. I want you to push yourself to talk to people, but I don't want you to push yourself around prospect. There's a difference, and the difference is that really going out and prospecting, you need to start looking at it as just breaking the ice. It's just going out and talking to people. As I said in my Breaking the Ice training, I said, you know, there are no strangers on this earth. They're just friends we haven't met yet. And if you don't believe that's true, I just want you all to take it on yourself this week to go out and just, you know, break the ice with at least 5 new people that you've never talked to before in your life and just make conversation. Give up on the whole concept that you have to sign them up in Manatech and just get rid of the agenda you got and just go out there and have fun building new relationships with people. I'm going to tell you, your whole disposition will change around it because that's what prospecting is. It's just connecting with people. It's making conversation. You make connections with other people. That's what we need to be doing. Do it naturally. Let it flow just as you are and make connection with people. And we make connection with people by talking about things people like to talk about, asking questions about family, occupation, recreation, motivation. Those are the 4 basics, and you can just flow with questions and let people answer them and just find out information about people. It's connecting with another person. And it is a numbers game. There's no question about it. Our whole, you know, our world of being out there getting people started on wellness products is a numbers game because it's about us trying to, the more people you contact, the more people you connect with, the more people you're going to get on board with the products. And if your goal is to get this world a healthier world, then that's exactly what you need to be doing. We can compare ourselves to Tiger Woods. He kind of made that connotation. You know, Tiger Woods, if you look at Tiger Woods, he plays the game of golf. And I'm going to suggest to you he plays the game of golf better than any golfer I've ever seen in my lifetime, including Jack Nicklaus. I mean, this guy's got some level of intensity never quite duplicated in the golf course before. But he plays the game of golf, but do you think he treats his game of golf just like a game? Okay, so you can talk about it's a numbers game in network marketing, and Tiger plays a game, but it's not a game from a perspective that you goof off at it. You know, games take, if you want to be good at what you do, it takes what? It takes time, it takes practice, and it takes repetition. For anything you want to be good at, time, dedication, practice, and repetition. Some of you get started off in Manistic and you start sharing with people, and the first five people you talk to don't seem to, you know, get motivated by what you have to say, and then you give up. And that makes no sense. What have you ever done in your life that's, you know, you started doing from day one and you are absolutely totally proficient at it? Very few people can pick and choose things that you become totally proficient at day one, because you need to learn the ropes. I clearly was somebody not proficient at networking from day one. I was one of the worst. And I know some of you laugh at that and you kind of find it hard to believe, but it's absolutely true. And one of the reasons I was one of the worst is one of the reasons why some people like to use why Mary Jo was successful in this business. They go, oh, well, but you were, you know, so educated, you were a lawyer, you knew what to do. And I go, that was the worst thing I had going for me. It was the worst, because in lawyering, all we do is learn how to take people's hearts out. I mean, that's what we do. We go out and we dissect people. Our whole world is about I win, you lose. We're trained. It's pounded in us for 3 years through law school how to behave in environments like that. Win, lose. Win for your client. It's always about pounding the other person down to, you know, into rubble, you know, pounding them to the pulp and then, you know, stomping on them. Sorry, people, that's just the way we're trained. So getting involved in networking, of course, what was I doing? I was going out there and I was trying to pound people into taking the product. It wasn't about communicating from the heart. So the concept was, if I would have given up, look what I would have given up. Most importantly, I would have given up the impact that I've had on thousands of people's lives and the impact those people have had on others' lives. And the other thing is that income flow that now helps fund the foundation. I mean, what an incredible thing. So giving up never was an option. But it was a reality that I knew I could look at myself and say, hey, I know the system works because look at all the people that are making it networking. So it's not a problem with the system. It's not a problem with network marketing. The problem must exist where? In me. So I need to work on me. I need to take time. I need to practice. I need to go through repetition. And that's what I need to do. And the concept here, I love what he said. He said, to be successful in network marketing, you need to get the prospecting game down, not let the prospecting game get you down. And that's what happens to so many of us. You know, you need to get it down. Don't let it get you down. Got it? Take control. Don't let those things out there, you know, change your attitude, change your conviction, change your commitment. You are committed to the mission. Let's go make it happen. And that just means we work on ourselves more. And some of you want to give up on that, and I would suggest don't ever give up on it. I mean, I still, to this day, I you know, every month I probably read 3 or 4 new books. Why? Because I need to work on me. It's about me. It's about how do I make me a better person? How do I become more effective in everything I do? So, you know, people say, well, you know, Mary Jo, well, this is, and I go, you know what, I'll never be there until I'm in heaven with my Heavenly Father. Then I will have arrived. But until then, I need to work on me. And remember one thing, it's the number one reason why Kiyosaki said he loves network marketing, because it's a total commitment to self-development. It's a total, he's never seen in any other industry such a commitment on self-improvement and self-development. Because it's about us. We're the only ones holding ourselves back, so we've got to work on us. So people need to get out of their own way. They need to, their minds play tricks on them. They sabotage the head games that we play, and we create low or no results because we play head games with us. You know, and our head games can look a lot of different ways. We have a lot of voices in our heads, and there's a great book out there by Helmstetter. It's called Chad Helmstetter. It says, "What to Say to Yourself When You Talk to Yourself." Some of you need to really revamp that languaging because it goes on all the time, and typically it's not positive. It's some things talking you out of doing things, talking you out of doing. I mean, it's incredible what programs we play in our brain, these little voices, and we allow it to happen because we say, well, Mary Jo, but I know that stuff is true, and I go, well, it's not truth. It's made up. It says you create your, you know, you create for yourself what you want to listen to in your brain. You create those truths. You know, you want to come positive, then you create positive statements and you reiterate positive things in your brain. You don't keep feeding yourself negative, or you have no chance. You're going to stay in the doldrums. You're never going to get anywhere. Some people look at me and I say, I have one conversation with them and I go, it's really easy for me to see what's going on for you, but you've got to choose. You've got to make the choice. And the shift is not easy. It takes time, practice, repetition. And that's the same thing it takes for you to get that stuff out of your head. So how do I avoid all that mind games and all that kind of stuff that I have going on when I'm prospecting? You know, how do I get out of the fears and overcome my, you know, worries and my concerns about, well, am I going to be good enough? And one of the number one ways that I help people get over that is to get the focus off of you. If you really take the focus off of you and you focus on other people. And that's what's most important. Focus on the other person. So if you go back to just having a natural conversation with somebody, if you had no agenda and you walked into a conversation with somebody, isn't it easy to focus on the other person? You just find out about them. Ask them questions. What's their life all about? What a joy it is just to get to know somebody. And, you know, it's one of the things I did a week ago Monday when I was in San Antonio. I just got to, you know, I did a skincare presentation. I sat down next to this woman after I was done. She didn't even buy anything. And I just started chatting with her. No agenda, no nothing. She brought up the skincare to me. She brought up that she wanted to buy a trial pack. She started talking about the wellness water. She bought a wellness water bottle. She started talking about other health issues she had, and she asked me about if there's anything we had to support in the endocrine system. And we hadn't even talked much about the health products. It was incredible. It was just like, it wasn't my agenda. I just was sitting down talking to her, asking about her family, where she lived, you know, how long she'd been at this hair, because it was at a beauty salon. A really beautiful beauty salon, but it was a really unbelievable decorations. But it was just a beautiful setting. There were about 25 women there, and this woman and I just had a great conversation. And it was great. And it was one of those conversations, you know that you've listened well in a conversation, and you've really come from authentic. When the person at the end of your 10 or 15 minute interchange, this woman got us to leave because she was heading out, and she said, "Yeah, if you married Joe, I got to leave it." She goes, "I can tell why you're so successful." She said, "I've been talking to you for 10, 15 minutes, and I feel like I've known you my whole life." And you just, you know, down deep, you just kind of smile and you go, "That's what it's about." So that's kind of a goal to set for yourself. But it's because I focused on other people. I didn't think about and worry about what they were going to think about me. I didn't come from any of that. Also, what's important is your own posturing. You need to feel a level of confidence and self-assuredness, and posture and attitude are critical. You know, and the only way you develop those, self-confidence, comes from going out and doing things, taking the action. Kind of the name of that book, Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. I mean, just getting out of your own way. Just get out and do it. You know, you people who sit back with lack of self-confidence and then don't take any action, well, you're going to stay in that exact posture of no confidence. So you need to take the action. You need to get out there and make things happen and take some action. That's what's going to help you build confidence. It was amazing in my breakthrough class, the Breaking the Ice class, when I told people, I don't want you to talk about magic. Just go out and break the ice with people. And they came back and they were going, my gosh, I can do this. This is a blast. I had fun just talking to people. It was incredible. And I'm going, so why can't you do it around magic? Because you're on an agenda. You're trying to get with people to get an agenda. You always got to be your own agenda. It's got to be your way or hit the highway. It can't be, you got to get over that. Again, natural prospecting. It's natural connectiveness with people. That's all you're striving to do. Get rid of the agenda. Because the agenda, once you start putting agendas in your head, then you create stress and you create all the nausea, and it's always about you instead of about the other person. The focus gets back off track. So be natural, be in the moment, be there, and get out of your own head. A lot of times when networkers, I even hear some of my people, they'll be doing, if I do a three-way call or I'm out to lunch with some of my associates and they're doing some presentation work, I hear them stumble, and I just sit back, and in my head I'm going, that's where they are. They're in their head. You know, when you get stuck in your head about all this stuff, that's when the words start jumbling, the pathway jumbles, you go into confusion. You can imagine what it sounds like to the prospect. If I can't follow what the person's trying to say, imagine somebody brand new who's trying to follow it. And I've been in Manitech for 10 years. You know, it's kind of one of, it's just kind of crazy. But it's because we focus so much on our head instead of being natural. When you're natural with somebody and you're really truly trying to connect with them, it's not coming from the head. It's coming where? It's coming from your heart. So you got to just, go with the flow, come from the heart, get out of your head, and simply just allow the conversation to flow and see where it goes. And you can somewhat control it by asking questions so you can stay involved in it from that level. I don't want to just sit down with somebody and talk to them for an hour and a half about, you know, something that's not even important to you. That's not what this is about. This is about talking about connecting with somebody and just opening doors, opening options, you know, and looking at just creating a relationship with somebody. Building rapport, really, is another way of looking at it. You're building rapport. You're just getting to know them. Free-flowing conversation is what it is. All right, when you talk about getting on phone calls and things like that, that's another thing you have to look at. A lot of people, when the minute they get on a phone call, what happens, they get stressed. There's a stress involved in phone calls. In fact, some of you can't even get up in the morning and pick up the call to make your first phone call or first, you know, call back. Because that phone, you know, we always talk about that 2,000-pound phone. You can't even pick it up. And again, you just physically prepare yourself for those kind of things, too. We physically prepare ourselves for prospecting as well. We physically, by what? We take deep breaths. We relax. We, you know, there's plenty of exercises you can go around to relieve stress out of your life. But again, most of your stress is coming from, you know, I'm afraid I'm going to screw up, right? It's all the focus is on you. When I look at a phone and I'm thinking about somebody out in the field who I committed to call back, it's amazing if you get out of the thought of, you know, what's going to go wrong or what am I going to say wrong or, you know, they're going to reject me or, that you know, all that stuff you guys love to, you know, and I call it MUS. It's a great word for it, M-U-S, it's MUS. And I got that from Carol McCall, who teaches a great listening class, M-U-S, it's called Make Up Stuff. We make up stuff. We put all that muss in our brain, and that's what we listen to. But to dismiss it, you know, getting it rid of it, if you, again, go right to focus on the person, and you focus on what this product can create in their life, now watch what happens to your communication. The fears are fall aside, the stress falls aside, all of that, because now the focus is on them, not on you. Focus is on your fears. The focus is on the greatness that they can create for themselves by making a great decision to take the products. So relaxed intensity versus stressed intensity. Okay, that means you're still convicted about what you want to accomplish in the conversation. But what you're trying to do is you're trying to just focus on them and not be stressed about it. Your prospect is just another living, breathing human being who has some level of dissatisfaction in their life. Or some desire for change. And this is where so many of us go wrong. You can't close on a prospect if you don't find their need. So you need to find what that, where that dissatisfaction is, where's the desire for change. Too many of us throw it upon somebody. We know what your need is. When you start telling people what their need is, I just want you to look at your own life and say, how many times have you appreciated somebody else telling you what you needed? Most of you never liked it from day one, from the day your parents started telling you, and you still don't like it at 50 years old. And there's a reason for that. It's somebody else's opinion about you. Now, what happens when you have this, your own opinion about you and somebody uncovers what your need is in just asking questions and you get to espouse what you see your needs are and they meet your need as you see it, not as they see it, but as you see it. Totally different conversation, totally different result. So your job is Sherlock Holmes. Your job isn't to tell somebody what their need is. Your job is to do the search, do the question asking, do the uncovery of what is their need. What is their dissatisfaction in their life? If you don't find a need, you can't fulfill it. And this is a need fulfillment business, so you need to go after finding that need. You need to pursue that, what I call the Sherlock Holmes approach, by asking questions and listening to the people. I'll guarantee you, you're hardly going to be able to carry a conversation for 5 minutes or less without coming to something about health or wealth. I mean, it's just the two most common topics people talk about. It's absolutely clear. And in our society, it's only getting worse. Both are getting worse. Our disparity of income in this country is getting worse every single day, every single year. And our health is getting worse every day and every year. Our healthcare system is getting worse. And in comparative to the rest of the world, we're even getting, I mean, it's pathetic where we are today in America. So if those are truisms and we know they're facts, we just have to sit back and say, hey, if I start a conversation with somebody, where do I think the conversation is going to go? Right, exactly. So approaching people and just, you know, again, natural, relaxed intensity with them, pursuing their needs, finding out what's in their life, what's causing them to be concerned, where do they desire change, and then fulfilling the need, showing how you can fulfill that need. That's the result. There's your prospecting going on. And the concept of fear, we talk about it a lot. We see it in Scripture. For those of you Christians or people biblically inclined, you understand that with perfect love, there is no fear. So I'm going to suggest if you're finding yourself in fear, it's because you're having a problem loving somebody else. And we went through that little exercise over the weekend in Iowa, and I also did it with my pastor last week when I had a conversation with him because we were talking about, you know, loving yourself, and my pastor was having some issues about that around, you know, biblical scripture to support that concept, and we went back and forth and back and forth, and I said, well, you know what, in scripture it tells us that we should love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, what is assumed in that statement? It's assumed that you love yourself, and again, that love, if you don't love yourself and you don't have that love, you're probably going to have more and more fear in your life. But if you love yourself, then the incredible thing is you love your neighbor as yourself. And that's exactly what our conviction is that we're supposed to love our neighbor as ourselves. And the second thing to that is that, you know, Scripture also tells us we're to love others as Christ loves us. And that, to me, is the toughest one, because that's a standard that although we can carry it forward in our lives, is it not a tough one to meet? The minute judgment, the minute anything comes in our attitude, you know, the minute we start doing something disparaging or making say, I mean, it's just like, there we go. You know, we've lost it. We've gone off path again, and it's very hard to stay on that path because that's a overabundance of love that I'm not sure. I you know, sometimes I look at myself and say, am I even capable of loving like Christ loves me? That's a big question mark. But we sure can put a lot of effort forth in that direction and continue to focus on that's how we need to be. And when you're that way with prospects and you're working with people out there and you just love on them, I'm telling you, it's unbelievable the responsiveness you get. Because very few people feel that kind of unconditional love in their life from anyone. And that's our role, is to step into that with people and just really care about them, show how much we care. And, of course, one of the greatest ways to do that is to really be a great listener with people. So you want to always make sure that you're be there listening. You're really tuned in to hearing what they have to say. So, you know, we want to do it, you know, most of the time when you look at prospectors and people that are out there doing this business who are so effective at it, that, you know, what do they have with it? You look at people like Ray Robbins. He has a blast. His prospecting is totally effortless. It's fun. Every time he does anything, he sees an opportunity in it. And what a blast that he has with it. It's just everything becomes fun. And that's the kind of approach you want to take to building your business. It's characterized by relaxed intensity, going all out in your business, giving it all you have, but doing it with a real peace of mind, a peaceful mind, not a stress-laden mind. And, of course, you can look at what's happened around us in Manitech, and you can say, well, Mary Jo, how could you say that today? We have all these things. And I go, why are you stressed? It isn't about you. Why are you getting stressed about it? There are changes that are going to occur in life. There are things that are going to happen. And I go back to, you know, we talked about this the other day. You know, Napoleon Hill did a full examination of, you know, for 20 years of all the most successful people in the world, and his conclusion was the only thing that differentiated them was that each and every one of them believed that they were going to be successful and that whatever happened in their life, no matter good or bad, whether it was skincare problem, Global View, Texas AG, the 2020 TVs, whatever, because you know what? All that was an event that was a step in the process of them being successful. And I need all of you to take on that same attitude if you choose success. because that's the necessary step. Everything that happens, there's always going to be things that happen in our life. We have to look at them and view them as this is just one more step in my process of achieving success. And that's our approach, and that's our attitude that we all need to grab onto and live with, make it near and dear to us. When you're making prospecting calls, let's just get to some clarity around that, because that was a big point that Todd was making. Was a lot of people make phone calls, and if you don't have a purpose for the call, you're going to create exactly that. It's kind of like, you know, if you don't set goals in your life, you're going to get exactly that, nowhere. You're going to be floundering out there in some incredible direction. So you want to make sure that you have direction in your life. You also want to make sure you have direction in a prospecting call. So if you're going to make a call, you want to have a purpose for the call. That doesn't mean you have an agenda. It just means that you would like to achieve a certain result. Agenda means you outline what happens from A to Z, and it's your agenda, and you keep getting her back on the agenda. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about what results we want. When I make a call to somebody, sometimes my result is purely I'd like to intrigue them so that by the end of the call, they're interested in getting information. That's great. And that's what I'd like to achieve. So when that happens, that's great. So that's how I move forward. And, you know, that's how the call goes forward. And then I just know that there's, you know, for me, I have a focus and clarity about what I'm trying to achieve by the end of the call. When you talk about business builders, you can talk about, and that's some of the language I put in the outline, I'm looking for someone open to an opportunity for change. And then probe and look for desires or dissatisfactions and strong character traits. One of the comments, and I'm a firm believer, this is the prototype, always prototype your perfect business builder. And if you need more interesting information or training on that, how do I prototype a perfect business builder for my downline? I really ask you to go back on Manatrain. There's a whole training that was done on that. In fact, it's one of the first posted trainings on my site, something I did at Manifest over 2 years ago. And it was how to attract the perfect business builder. And one of the things you have to do is prototype. If you don't know what you're looking for, how can you attract it? So you first have to have an idea of what a perfect business builder looks like. And it's important for you to prototype it, because all of us can come down with a group of characteristics that we want in somebody who's a business builder in our organization. And we need to have that. We need to have that focus, and we need to have that particularly in our mind as we go out in search of business builders. Otherwise, we're not going to achieve it. You're going to get people that you believe are perfect business builders, but you have no standards upon which to make a judgment whether they are or not. Your whole standard for believing they're a perfect business builder for you is they told you that. Did you ever have that happen to you where somebody told you? And that's incredible, because we believe it. It becomes our truth, and then we operate under that truth for the next 6 months until the person has proved us wrong 82 times. And maybe by the 83rd, you finally get it in your head, and you finally understand that you've been so stubborn wanting this person to be the perfect business builder that you've given up tons of time and energy and effort. And all it did was produce a net result of you being discouraged. Now, first and foremost, if you had a perfect prototype, you know, or a prototype of a perfect business builder, maybe up front when you first met this person, you could have done the analysis and said, wow, this person has some potential, but they really need to work on these four areas. Because four characteristics they didn't meet. And then maybe you could be pouring your time and energy into helping support them in those four characteristics instead of being off on a path of just pounding them and putting more information in their hands about how to prospect and how to move forward and how to do this and how to do that, when in reality they were lacking in four really critical areas that were going to hold them back from ever being effective. One of the things I love to do when I get somebody who wants to be in this business, one of the first things I like to do with them is just try to work through with them and find out how they fit in the characteristics that would allow them to be the most effective business partner for us. And when I see shortcomings, let's say they're not good listeners, what do I want to do? I want to get them into a listening class or you know, get them to read some books, get some Carol McCall tapes or something that can help break that down for them so that they can be better there. Or if I see that they're wrought up in fear or anxiety, I can get them books around anxiety and fear. Doesn't mean it's always going to work, but at least I can get them on a path that I'm pouring into where their needs are so that I can help them overcome those issues. Because if I don't do that, they're not going to ever perform at a level that I'm expecting them to perform. So that's why it's so critical to prototype your perfect business builder so you can then make evaluations based on how you need to support people. If people in a prospecting call have questions or objections that come up that you're not prepared for, of course, we all know what to do. We just, what? We don't answer them. If you don't know what the answer is, you don't answer them. We have too many people that try to make up answers because you feel like you have to be the expert. You're not the expert. None of us have to be the experts. There are going to be always be questions out there that you're not going to have an answer to, so don't create them. It's the worst thing you can do, because what happens is they lose trust in you and they find out the answer was wrong. And that's something that's very hard to build back. Very, very hard. So when an objection comes up that you're not prepared for in a prospecting call, what you want to do, you want to take a deep breath. Take a deep breath, pause, and then go with the flow. If it's a great objection and you don't have an answer for it, the first thing on your mouth is say, you know what? You give the honor them for coming up with a great question. You can go, that is a great question. You know, I don't know the answer to that, but I'll get back to you. As soon as you get off the call, I'll be back to you within 24 hours and let you know. But honor them. It's okay. When you tell people they came up with a great question, that makes people feel good about themselves. And let me tell you one thing that's really clear. People buy when they feel good about themselves. A lot of people, when you say, hey, that's a great question, no one's ever asked that of me, and I will go and pursue the answer to that after we get off this call. A lot of people will say, Mary Jo, no, that's okay. I really didn't need it. I just thought it was kind of intriguing. And then they end up signing up. So sometimes people throw questions out there just to, you know, see your response. But you can use that question as a mechanism of reaching out to them and honoring them in such a way that they even feel more comfortable with you, and they trust you more implicitly, and they are more likely to move forward in allowing you to close them because you've honored them. So watch how you interact on that level in terms of issues or questions or objections. Always honor the person. Always honor them, and don't come after them and argue with them and tell them why they're wrong and pound them. You know, you might pound people into submission, but it's not a very effective. If any of you have ever parented in life, you know it's not very effective. And it surely doesn't operate in a long-term basis. It works on an immediate basis, but 6 months later, these are the same people that are the zeros in your downline. If not 6 months later, sometimes 1 month later. So the idea is to always build that level of camaraderie and commitment with the person so that you can move forward with them in any way instead of pounding them into some submission. So, you know, honor people with that, and again, it's about connectiveness and building that relationship. And we can always expect, in all of our prospecting we do, I'm just telling you, be open and ready for anything. Because if I asked you guys on this call today and I said, okay, give me some wild stories about prospecting experiences you had, this call could go on for the next 7 weeks without stopping. We've been through everything. I mean, you can go through so many different things, and trust me, none of us have seen it all yet. We see new things all the time, and you just have to be ready. But always coming from heart, coming from love, and being natural and relaxed, getting rid of the stress, getting rid of fear, getting rid of anxiety, and making sure that your focus is on the other person is going to really open you up to having more success with each and every person that you interact with, because now they're going to feel comfortable with you, and that's really critical. If you're not relaxed and you're stressed out, you're going to create that across the table, and they're going to read you like a book. So important to be very natural, very much yourself, very much in tune, and get rid of the anxiety and fears that you have. Okay, so that's the greatness of Todd Falcone. He covered a lot of issues that I could probably train on just entire, you know, 4-week courses just on one of these issues, but I loved how he incorporated it. And sometimes we just need to hear it a little differently from people, and sometimes that triggers us to see things in ourselves that aren't functioning properly as we're going out there trying to share this manifest mission. And that's why I like to train on sometimes in these kind of ways, because for one person it's one thing, for somebody else it's something else. So let me take everybody off mute, and hopefully you're all on star 6 and we can have a few shares before we close today, or any other open questions you might have. Okay, hang on. Mary Jo? Okay, we're back. Mary Jo? Uh-huh. Yeah, this is Dr. Gwen McDonald, and I'm asking on your prototype, the Dakota Mana Train, and is that an outline that you first taught on, or how do you get that?
Which one, about the prototype for a business builder?
Yes.
It's if you go to Mana Train, and it's the very first training listed.
their Monday call. It's the very first one. So click on all that you want to view all the training. So when you click on all, it'll be the very first one.
Okay, thank you.
And the other thing was, I'm allergic to the broke the dirt.
I got a lot of talking
about Mary Jo, can you have me star six?
Everybody star six. Anyone have any other questions?
Yes,
I have a question, Mary Jo.
Your body, what's possibly?
About a year ago, they had a spot on my breast. And then I started shoving the and they're kind of curious if the spot's still there. So I doubled up on the manager.
Well, you know, 95%
of all doctors. Well, I can hardly hear you. I know. All right.
I'll figure it out.
Email an issue to the management site video download and get it to me. I'll be more than happy to answer it for you that way. Okay. We just have too much talking going on. Sorry for the background noise. It's just hard for people. Don't email on it and try to quash that noise.
Hey, Mary Jo. That may also be the very reason they have problems with their prospects is they disrespect them.
Okay. All right, but let's not get into judgment. I know what's going to happen.